רוצים לבוא, לדעתי יש שם תרגום עכשיו, אז בבקשה בואו תתקדמו, יש פה מקומות, כל מי שצריך צריכה תרגום, איילה נמצאת שם, ומי שמאחור שהתרגום מפריע לו רוצה לשבת יותר קרוב, יש פה בכלל מקום פנוי למי שרוצה לבוא מאחור.
Okay, thank you, and it's great that I can actually be here. And I got a note today from somebody who said, don't forget that corona can affect the mind and cause confusion. And I thought, if the talk comes out kishkush lagamre, I can blame the virus. But I want to start with a little bit history, or going back into the ground of Buddhist text. Because the very earliest text, the Sutta Nipata, has this beautiful quote, which says, there is no better mindfulness in this world, no better way to live in this world than the practice of metta. It is a path to awakening. And it puts very clearly metta as a path to awakening and an awareness, together with awareness. And citta, which you could call mind-heart. And in the Buddhist tradition, there really isn't a difference. They're all together. And you know that every thought has a feeling that drives it. And every feeling has a thought behind it. And every thought creates more feelings. So mind and heart are always together. So they need to be supporting each other, mind and heart, on the journey to liberation. And there has been in the history of the Theravada practice a kind of movement to put metta in a way on the side or as an addition or regard panya, the wisdom, as being the key. And metta is a kind of add-on. And a rather male orientation in a Dharma practice, which has been for thousands of years, not only in Buddhism, but a male practice to do with mind. But it's very clear that both empower each other, mind and heart. And you heard about the hindrances, it's been discussed, and I'll mention it again, but if you think of a hindrance like restlessness or like neediness or like rejection or resistance, and you see the way the mind, once the hindrance is known and seen, it begins to be more empty. But you can see the way that the kindness to our restlessness or the kindness to our neediness just adds so much power to that process that whatever the hindrance comes up. So hindrances will emphasize, we can deal with hindrances through mind and heart together, and when we work with mind and heart together, the hindrances begin to dissolve. And meditation gets deeper. And there's another interesting sutta, which a whole bunch of yogis, sadhus, came to the Buddha one day and said, you don't teach anything special. All my teachers talk about infinite love and infinite compassion and infinite joy, and what's, you don't do anything that's different. And the Buddha said, actually I do. My path is unique. And why? Because the release of the heart needs the factors of awakening. And factors of awakening are qualities, are deep qualities that come from a meditative life, come from a spiritual life. Qualities like insight, qualities like joy, qualities like investigation, qualities like equanimity, qualities like calm and steadiness. And they're all needed. So metta, the heart, needs all the other qualities to support it. And I think in your practice you can see that. If there's something steady, even in the way you sit, the way you walk, the way you look, the way you are, the steadiness is one of the qualities of factors of awakening. How that allows the love, the heart, to open. Because you're sitting right there. And the heart is just... So that's one thing. And then the text goes on to say, it also goes with practice on emptiness, practice of infinite space, practice of infinite consciousness. All of that means no boundary, limitless, endlessness. All of that supports metta. So that's why, that's my teaching. It's different from others. And I think it's a good lesson for us. How do we let go of stuff? We let go of stuff through these qualities, through this insight, and through a lot of heart that says, yes, I am with you, and I can let you go. Even like if you've got a attachment that's strong, contraction, some issue that seems very stuck. But if you feel, well, wait a minute, I can work with it, but I have to, I can't get rid of it aggressively, but I can kiss it goodbye. I can kiss it goodbye like you kiss goodbye to an old friend. It's a different attitude to something that's bugging us or that's stuck. So let's focus a little bit on how that works. It's clear that the mind is needed to recognize a place of contraction or of attachment or of self-view, self-centered, my issue, my problem, my struggle. And it's absolutely clear that it needs to be recognized. And that's why we're sitting here for hours. Sometimes just to sort of see, oh, okay, I see you. That's a big story, but that's really needed. And that needs the mind to recognize. And then developing insight into seeing how it's everything is a construction that appears and disappears. And the more we kind of get used to seeing that, recognizing and then knowing that it's got a very short shelf life. It goes by itself whether you like it or you don't like it. So all of that is the insight. But then adding to that can be the heart, along with even the most sort of problematic, disturbing mental loops. We can begin to see with sympathy, yeah, well, I didn't invent this. I didn't ask for it. It's come from life. So I can a little bit let go. It's not just me. I don't have to take it personally. That's already the heart kicking in and giving a bigger view and more soft. And allowing it to be what it is a process that is needed. The heart does that too. Okay. It's like I embrace. In my group today, we were talking about not only seeing Mara, but embracing Mara. And Mara is the kind of unpleasant visitor that comes in, called the ordinary mind, and just disturbs us. Recognize Mara? Yes. And in a way, embrace Mara. Allow it to be. Allow it to be. And the heart continues. Issues that come up for us, shift the view. They're not our enemies. They're our children. They can be, as I say, unpleasant thoughts. They can be emotions that we think, wow, I can't take this, and so on. But wait a minute. They're like a child, our own child. No one else. You know, they just appear. So like our children, we can say, okay, I see you. I allow you. It's a bit annoying. You're giving me a hard time, like our children do. But I allow you to be my child. And something very, very basic that is very easy to forget. We usually regard attention, which is kind of, say, basic to mindfulness, as a mind thing. But attention cannot be just mind. Attention itself is mind and heart. When we direct our attention, we send it somewhere, we are connecting ourselves with something. We are sending our attention to this naughty, unpleasant children in our mind. These thoughts, these feelings, these memories, these difficult emotions, these anger. But just giving our attention to it is already, in a way, an act of love. It's not just an act of pure mind. It's connecting, it's going to a place, it's joining something. We are joining the issue. Or we look at the breath, we are joining the breath, we are there with it, we fall into it. And that too is not just a mind process, it's a heart process. And we know it because it creates intimacy. And intimacy is a sign that the thing is working. Our attention is right there, and we'll experience it as intimacy. And it's beautiful. Intimacy is really kind of the name of the game here. So when we kind of look with more love and more allowing and more caring at the content of our mind, heart, body, slowly, slowly, it can change its face, this issue. And I mentioned this in my talk the first day, that when we embrace our demons, they turn into the prince or the princess. As in the mythology, the traditions. Or we kiss the old lady and she becomes, or the frog. We kiss the frog, she becomes a prince. These are really powerful images that are very basic because they really are what happens. When we turn towards, when we give our attention to, when we become intimate with issues that disturb us, something shifts. And it's instead of distance, escaping something, shutting something down, avoiding, or Netflix, whatever, entertainment, shut down. So if we understand that, then, you know, we can see all the time the way that the heart is engaged. And we can feel it, you know, again and again if we pay attention. For example, even in life, we have anger. We get angry, or we get irritated, or we get upset. And then something is resolved, okay? Either in meditation or just in life. Something softens, something is allowed, something is seen, some different view, not stuck. And what happens then? You know what it's like when two people get angry, you and your partner start fighting. And then somehow it's all sort of sorted out. And then what happens then is a big hug. Chibuk gadol. It's like at the end of difficulty is a chibuk gadol. And this shows something about the way the heart works to deal with stuff that is difficult for us. I just suddenly remembered a story that you may have heard in many, many years ago on one of our peace walks that we did. Really, it was like history. But I still remember it because it's very strong. We were doing a long walk, I think at Wadi Ara, for several days. We were walking and we came to a place which was a camp for young Arab schools. And it was a place where they were showing how traditionally they make olive oil and traditional crafts. And we were walking, you know, with a whole group of middleway Shvil Zahav, and many practitioners from the Dharma. And we arrived in this place, and it was full of screaming children, like hundreds of kids making a huge noise. And several of the yogis came to me and said, "This place is terrible. There's no silence. How can we be silent here? This is the most unsilent place in the world." But I was crying. And they said, "Why are you crying?" I said, "This is not a place for silence. This is a place to see joy, where there's young Arab kids who are just full of joy and life. Let it, feel the joy. Let it touch you." And I remember that because it's sort of, for me, a kind of extreme example of how to go towards a place which is more sort of softer and heartful, and not get too tight with our practice. So we can feel that and practice it here in many different ways. And there are many ways. And you've been given the phrase, some phrases already. And it's really good to play with them, to see the different methods. There's no one size fits all. We do need to be creative and playful with our practice. And so try things out. And for example, when you really feel stuck somewhere, like I say, with a hindrance, restlessness or neediness, then just the arising of the phrase addressed to the neediness itself. May you be peaceful and happy. Just tell the neediness. Tell it. May you be peaceful and happy. See what happens. Play with it. It changes the weather. Can change the weather inside. Can change the kaze mezik avir panimi. So the phrases have power, and all the other aspects of the heart have power too. So just try things out, play with all the different practices that are available here. There's not one thing, there's not one practice for everybody. And we will begin to kind of, as the days of the retreat continue, we will begin to feel that actually kindness is a default, is a base, is a ground in life. We may not notice it because we're so full of self stories, but it might appear in moments here. Okay, at this moment, nothing is wrong. I'm standing on this earth. I'm walking between the trees. And what is happening actually is not just walking between the trees. It's a sense of belonging. I am belonging to the earth. The tree and myself are two beings. We are together in this moment. There's a default kindness there, a kind of basic kindness of just being. And we might notice, not to pressure that I must notice it all the time, but just allow that place of deeper kindness. It's like the kindness to our child. We don't have to have courses to love our child. Mind you, Basograim, I have to say, a story from my childhood that I just remembered. My mother used to read all the time Dr. Spock books on how to bring up children. Dr. Spock at that time, that was 1950. And I remember one time running downstairs and saying to her, just throw the books away. Here I am. Get rid of Dr. Spock. I don't want to know about Dr. Spock. So you don't need to kind of really have too much construction around this, but just do notice something very basic, like we are with our children. We are, often it's easiest with ourself. It's easiest with our body. We can sometimes feel it in the body as very basic default. Yes, we're together. Yes, all the limbs and the bits and pieces of this body are actually collected together and actually alive. It's a default place. But we can feel it in all sorts of different ways. We can love our cells. The cells are ta'im. We can just love them. They're doing their function. Sometimes not so well, but never mind. But they're doing what they can. They're doing the best they can, just like the rest of us. And if we keep going to a place which is more of a default kindness, yes, allowing, yes, I'm with it, yes, things begin to be more alive. If we see our connection to the tree and the earth and the sky and the body and the cells and the touch of things and so on, everything begins to talk more, whilst it becomes more alive, and our issues become a little bit less dominant. And it's the same with us and with another person. If we bring another person as an image and direct our kindness, our meditation on metta to another being, it's actually the same. It's as if we do it with ourselves, but we do it with another. We be kind to their tissues and cells and their body and their bodily life. It's just maybe possible. It makes it possible for us to do it. It gives an avenue. It gives a direction. But we keep seeing the way that what changes happen when we have another person in mind and we direct love towards them. What happens to our own heart? What happens to our inner space? How does it affect us if we project love to somebody else? And what about the space between us and them? Can we feel the love between things, between us and them? Can we feel the love between all of us here in the space between us? Not just the person, but can we fill the space with love? And we can practice that. So as the days of the retreat continue, pay attention to where a key is, where letting go of things becomes a little easier each time. That's one of the keys. If we can notice, yeah, it's a little easier for me to let this one go. It's a little easier for me to say, okay, this anger or habit of mind, it's a little easier. Okay, it's coming again and again. Indeed, it turns up again and again, like an unpleasant visitor or like whatever, someone nagging us on the mobile phone again and again. But wait a minute. Easier each time, little bit. So pay attention to that, because that's kind of, we often give ourselves a hard time and think, oh, the practice not really working, I've got all this stuff keeps coming back and it seems so stuck. Wait a minute, Is it a little easier than yesterday? Is there a place where actually I can let it go a bit quicker, a bit easier, a bit check it out. And we feel, and if we can feel the lightness that comes with that, a sense of lightness, a sense of openness, that's enough. We're not necessarily looking for great cosmic breakthroughs. Those experiences of lightness, of openness, of things dissolving a little more easy each time, that's what happens. That's the retreat. That's the development. So there's one place which is a bit problematic, which you might find problematic, that working with the heart, sometimes the heart itself is the problem, because it's in the heart that the anger comes, or the anxiety and the fear. And then it feels a little, how do I use the heart to undo the heart? How does that work? And I think the answer is that we do need to listen very honestly, again, recognize, be clear about the voices that are in our heart. If it's anger, be clear. This is what's happening. This is its beginning. This is middle. This is end. Anxiety or fear, I see you. So recognize, allow it. But then we can also kind of hold the heart with kindness. Hold the anger with kindness. It's as if the heart is big enough to do that. The heart is big enough. Just like the mind is big enough to see a thought. So it's the mind, or it's the consciousness, looking at a thought. So the same with the heart. The heart is big enough to be kind to its anger. And allowing, again, I'm kind, and offering phrases. May you be happy, my stormy heart. May you be happy and peaceful. And it's really an embrace. It's an embrace, it's a chibuk. So, a final couple of words. Especially in this retreat, we don't want to be under pressure. Quite a lot of relaxation. Quite a lot of letting things almost happen by themselves. Quite a lot of sense that it's not all on me, that I have to kind of pull myself out of my stuff, bekoach, with power. It's a softness there too. We can be soft with our track here in the retreat. Relax, but be consistent. When Simi talked about the effort that's needed, it doesn't mean the effort has to be heroic. Osho said, why be a hero when you can be a zero? We don't need to be heroes here. We can, the kindness is also about the kind It's an energy. It's a way of changing our life in a harmonious way. That needs kindness rather than fighting our issues and intensity. And so the energy is energy of consistency, of being there with it, of keeping going, but not an energy of being a hero. You don't need it. And let it sort of open, things open by themselves. Right through the Buddhist tradition, there is the image of dwelling, of living in the practice. And I was talking to Simi today about the translation of Brahma Viharas, one of the different ways of translating those words is vihara means a sort of a palace or a building or a dwelling or a hotel kind of. But a way of translating that would be dwelling in liberation. And the word dwelling, lishot, is very much appearing all through the suttas as a way of just living in the practice rather than pushing ourselves. It's dwelling there, it's staying with things, abiding with things. So, love the space that we're in, the space inside, and the space between us, and the space of the retreat, and each other, and be curious, and let the unexpected happen. Thank you. So we'll take some time for sitting now.